listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. Every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific Standard Time, my guests and I will bring you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Now today, we're going to be talking about Down syndrome, and in particular, one beautiful young boy named Jacob. With me as co-host is the ever-enchanting psychologist, Dr. Melody Fox. Once again, my producer extraordinaire, Jan Chapin, and I have spirited Melody away from her private practice in Newport Beach, where she works with adults and their relationships, as well as teens and their families. Melody, how was your weekend?
It was great. Went to a fantastic wedding up in the mountains. It was just beautiful.
That's wonderful. And did you get rain?
No, it was just foggy. It made beautiful pictures, gorgeous pictures.
Nice. I love it. Well, Melody, before we bring on our guests, let me tell you a little bit about the video that I watched called Jacob's Turn. It's about a four-year-old boy, baseball, and love. It brought a little moisture to my eyes, and you know what? I think I'll let them tell us more about it. Our guests today are Tricia Titus and Nick Nanton. Tricia and her husband, James, are the parents of three children, Lauren, Matthew, and Jacob, who is the subject of our show today. Nick Nanton is an entertainment attorney and agent who is recognized as one of the leading experts on personal branding. Nick is also an award-winning songwriter and television producer. Nick, Tricia, and other caring parents and individuals participated in creating a touching and wonderful documentary entitled Jacob's Turn. And for those listening out there, you can view this documentary as I have and learn more about the organization's work with Down syndrome children at www.jacobsturn.com. Now, if you're out there driving, we don't want you to go on there right now. And if you're listening with your computer, you can go to the site and you can follow along with us. You probably don't want to watch the video now because it's going to conflict with us. So, Tricia, Nick, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you two here. And I think what I'd like to do first, before you tell us a little bit about the video, is let's just start with a basic question for a lot of people that don't really understand. What is Down syndrome?
Okay, I'll take that one. Down syndrome is the most frequently occurring chromosomal abnormality. It affects people of all races and cultures and economic levels. It occurs when you have some extra genetic material. You have an extra copy of the 21 chromosome. Most everybody has two copies of 23 chromosomes, and when you have Down syndrome, you have an extra copy of that number 21, which sometimes Down syndrome is referred to as trisomy 21. Down syndrome can, it has several characteristics that are associated with it, and they include you can have some impaired cognitive ability. Sometimes you have, like my son did, a congenital heart defect. You can have problems with vision and hearing. Some kids have respiratory issue or digestive problems, can have sleep apnea, and you're more susceptible to infections.
Now, Tricia, I mean, what was your family's reaction when you first learned that Jacob had Down syndrome?
I was devastated. I was it was a very scary, helpless, sad time. I wasn't exactly sure, you know, I think in my mind I was like, now which one is Down syndrome? What is Down syndrome? And the more I researched it, you know, the more scary it seemed. The way that we found out that he had Down syndrome is when they did our initial ultrasound. Jacob had a very significant heart defect, and that was very closely related to Down syndrome, so they kind of knew from that point.
Now, I was understanding I don't think there is, but is there a cure for Down syndrome, or is there a way to change things while they're in vitro? Do you know?
There is no way. Okay. There is no cure at this point. My pediatrician told me once that he thinks maybe in the next 100 years they may have some way to go in and get rid of that little bit of extra genetic material because it starts from the very beginning. But even though there's no cure, if you have early intervention and with the advanced medical care that we have now and the better techniques in educating kids with Down syndrome, and with more social acceptance, kids with Down syndrome, people with Down syndrome can live wonderful, productive, full lives, very happy, very, very good, normal lives.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tricia, what made you decide to write the article that is called Jacob's Turn?
My son, he loves anything to do with ball, and he loves to play. And both my older kids played ball, and he was, you know, he was taken from here to there, and he watched them play, and he was just waiting for his turn. And I knew that he needed a turn. And when I put him in T-ball, I was just terrified. I was terrified about how it would work, how people would treat him, how he would be received. And my community just embraced Jacob, and I really just wanted to express how deeply we appreciated how good they were to him.
Now, Nick, now at this point, I mean, what was it that drew you to this situation? Was it reading the article?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess the whole thing is kind of an exercise in fate, really. I met you know, Trisha's husband, Jim, in just a chance meeting. I think it was the Chicago Midway Airport was where I traced it back to based on, because when I was thinking about how it came about, someone else asked me the question, I didn't remember how I met Jim. I knew it might have been an airport somewhere, but I don't remember where it was or when it was. And I actually went back and traced his emails and found it there. But basically, you know, I learned pretty quickly, actually, what got Jim and I talking. We were both both on a layover on different flights, sat down next to him. He had his laptop open. And I saw a picture of a really cute little boy holding a baseball bat. I said, you know, is that your son? He said, yeah. And I said, you know, beautiful kid. He said, yeah, thanks so much. You know, he's been a blessing to us. He has Down syndrome. And I said, you know, I recognize some characteristics I thought might be Down syndrome related because I had some, yeah, I've had several family members who, you know, with Down syndrome. And I also, my mom's been in a special needs system in, of the school system for 20-something years. So anyway, we just kind of got to talking. And I guess it was about 6-7 months later, you know, Jim and I kept corresponding for whatever reason, and he said, hey, my wife wrote this story, you know, check it out, don't share with anyone yet because, you know, it hasn't been published or anything. I said, okay, no problem. And what I did, I forwarded it to my dad and I forwarded it to my law partner because I thought they both would enjoy as much out of it because it made me cry. I mean, I had no qualms about saying that. And I didn't tell them not to send it to anybody because I just sent it to my dad and my partner. I mean, I wasn't expecting them to, like, it's not only someone you'd say, don't share this with anybody because they don't usually have anyone to share it with. Well, each one forwarded it out to like 30 people. I'm like, oh man, that wasn't supposed to happen. But I also at the same time knew that, you know, Trisha had really touched, I mean, a nerve wherein it was something that people really wanted to share.
Now, I was curious because I went online and I was able to find Jacob's Turn, the book, which I found extremely charming. And it had excerpts, I guess, from the article, but several pictures. And I have to say, those pictures were just beautiful. And as you know, a picture says 1,000 words. I thought each picture said 10,000 words. But where did the book come along? Was that before or after the video or after the article? Or what? How did that come about?
The book was actually something we put together when we were putting the video out, and we decided, first of all, we just wanted to get the video. I mean, I said, let me try to tell the story as well as Trisha did, because a bunch of people, the way the story is now, a bunch of people just will never read it. They just won't get to it. And I have a network of people who have pretty good reach and influence. Let me try to essentially make it into a viral video, because I know more people need to see this. So when we're doing that, we got the idea, well, we might as well raise some money too. And so at that point, I started trying to figure out how the people who raise money with video do it well, and I just kind of started thinking about PBS specials. And so they kind of have these different levels of, if you donate this, you get this, if you donate this, you get this, you know. And so I decided, hey, let's put a book together. So the same guy who was our director of photography and cinematography, he actually took it, pulled still shots from the movie, and then and created the book out of that. So it came out beautifully, obviously. And we never quite got to the PBS style of things, so we just didn't have enough time. Everything was rolling so quickly, and we were coordinating with people with huge email lists. But we actually are going to have a DVD coming out soon as well. And there's the book, and there's actually movie posters now, too. Which just really trying to spread this really neat message of everybody's unique, but not different enough to not live a great life like everybody else.
Oh, sure. And you can see the joy in his face from the pictures, and I'm sure the video as well.
Yeah. And as I said when I started, how much I appreciated the video. But let me ask this. What does Jacob think of the video?
Oh, he loves it. He loves it. He says, "That's me, Mama. That's me."
Oh, yeah. My favorite scene in the movie is when he takes a bow every time he gets on base.
That's classic. I have shown it now to hundreds of people that I've been sitting with them when they watch it, and every single one of them starts to laugh, and half of them start to choke and cry at the same exact time. It's just a really neat moment. We actually were trying to, the point that we shot it about a year, we shot it about a year after it happened, right? So we had to recreate the entire, we couldn't recreate the scene. That's why there's still photos and everything else. But what we did, we just went and shot another one of Jacob's baseball games. And so it was just interesting kind of piecing all that together and trying to tell a story. Some people, I had a few people ask me up front, "Hey, I thought this was T-ball. Why are they hitting without a T?" And I explained to them, actually, most T-ball teams advance towards the end of the season, but actually this is a year later, too,
Yeah.
Well, I think the video is quite an experience in the book as well. And what is it that you want to have come across to other people that are viewing the video, or what is the mission behind the video?
Tricia, why don't you talk about the story, and I can cover the video side, because I'm sure it's the same goal, but why don't you cover that?
Well, the whole point, when I wrote the article, I never dreamed that it would ever turn into any of these things. When I wrote the article, it was just in humble, deep appreciation for the way that our community has embraced my child. How, I guess they maybe had to let him play. If they wouldn't have let him play, then that would have been a big deal. But they didn't have to support him, and they didn't have to love him, and they didn't have to make it as wonderful as it was. Because that's exactly what they did. You don't realize, maybe people don't realize how scary and lonely it can get. And a smile can make a big difference. A little encouragement.
Sure. And is there anything that you'd like to share with other parents of special needs kids?
Well, you have to hang in there. It can be really lonely, but if you look around, you can almost always find support and love, even if it's just sometimes when you're checking out in the supermarket and your kid is grabbing everything in sight, you're just trying to get out there, and you turn around and the lady behind you will smile, and she'll say, we've been there. And because you worry about what other people think, and, you don't want them to think badly of your child. You don't want them to think badly of you. And, sometimes when you have a child with any type of a special need or difficulty, doing simple things like going to the grocery is tough. So, instead of maybe a nasty look or, rolling your eyes or, maybe if you can just smile and give that parent a little bit of support. And, I can look around and find support all the time. Parents, when you have a child with any kind of special need, you have doctors and specialists that they're experts on Down syndrome, or they're experts on autism, or they're experts on, whatever. But they're not the expert on your child. I've had so many people tell me, so many experts, so many doctors, so many specialists, "Jacob won't be able to do this. Jacob can't do this. Jacob this, Jacob that." And you know what? He can, and he does. And so I listen to what they say. You have to listen to what they say, and you need to take that into account. But you also need to listen to your child and, pay attention to your child. You sit around and, when I very first found out that I was going to have Jacob and he was going to have these problems and he had this big heart defect and we were going to have open heart surgery, and I didn't know about any of that stuff, and I spent a few months of my pregnancy kind of wringing my hands and worrying and and fretting, and the best advice I ever got was from my dad. And, you know, I'm sure he patiently listened to me for, you know, a month or two. And then finally he just said, you know what, these are your cards. You need to play them the best you can. And, you know, that's what I needed to hear. And sometimes, you know, all that feeling sorry for yourself stuff, it doesn't really get you anywhere. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help your child. So you just got to get in there and, you know, take control and be a part of, you know, helping your child. I can't tell you every therapy session that in the beginning we had first steps and they came to our house, every therapy session, I sat through that therapy session. I didn't go wash my hair or, you know, not that I didn't need that respite or I didn't need time, but when the therapist came, I made myself sit there and learn exactly what the therapist did. And then I would apply that with Jacob, and I would, you know, what they did, I would do through the week. And then when they came back, they'd say, wow, he really is doing well with this. And it's because we worked on it all week. And I think sometimes parents kind of get the feeling, they kind of lose sight of the fact that you're the parent and you're the first teacher and you're the best therapist. And, you know, our whole family gets involved with teaching Jacob. And you know, it's grace of God Jacob does so well, but it's also the fact that our family comes together as a unit, and it takes all of us to teach Jacob and help Jacob grow and learn.
Well, sure. And I know that, you know, special needs kids and what I guess non-special needs kids, that we all love our children. We all learn a lot from them, and they're all a blessing, and there's always something to that we get from them. And what are some of the things that you've learned from being Jacob's mother?
You know, sometimes people will say, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, when they find out that Jacob has Down syndrome. But you know what? It is just, having Jacob is the best thing. It is just, he has taught me patience and courage and determination and just strong will. I mean, he is just this amazing person. He loves unconditional. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't let anything hold him back. You know, he doesn't know that he has any limits, and he just goes out and does it, and he loves life, and he smiles, and he's happy, and he's always telling everyone hello. And, you know, he makes me a better person. I'm so lucky and so blessed to be his mother. I'm just so blessed, and I'm just so lucky. It's people don't understand, and I guess if he wasn't my son, I might have a hard time understanding, but he brings something out of people and makes you better. I don't know how else to explain it.
I think what you said, too, the best way I can put it, too, is that, you know, Jacob got a little extra, and he's willing to share. You know, he got an extra chromosome, and he's got more than the rest of us. He's so willing to share. It's a really neat experience to deal with him.
Yeah, and we have a question coming in, a listener question that's coming in, and I'm going to read that for you. It says, my nephew was born with Down syndrome. He is now 16 years old. During family get-together, Samuel reminds us to appreciate each other and every day of our lives. Most of all, he is forever giving and caring of others. We, too, feel that these special children are an inspiration and wonderful gifts to all of us. So I think that's great. I mean, this is information coming out. These are people that are listening that I think are feeling the same way.
I totally agree. Jacob has inspired me and inspired a lot of people. And it's brought our family so much closer. Having Jacob brings us so much closer.
Well, it sounds like what Jacob's done is shown you to be fearless. To just love life and be in the moment and just enjoy what's around you, where many of us get paralyzed by our fears, and there is no fear, it sounds like, from Jacob.
Right.
And regarding that, with the video, I know you talked a little bit about how it came about, but how has it been received by the public? What has your feedback been?
Trish, you want to comment on where you've heard about it, and I can do the rest.
Well, I mean, sometimes I have gone on to the website at www.jacobsturn.com, and there's a place for people to put comments and questions, and sometimes I go through and read those, and it really touches me. What I think is one of the most proud things is that by writing this article, what's small part I had in helping people understand and having people be more accepting and realize, you know, that even though Jacob might be a little different, he's still like any other kid. He's in kindergarten, and he wants to have friends, and he wants to play ball, and he wants to, you know, go outside, and he's just a kid. He's just like everybody else, and he's not afraid to go out and play ball, and he's not afraid, you know, to put himself out there.
And Nick, what would you add to that?
I mean, it was when I was rounding everybody up to get support for it, the way I did it was I work with a lot of, you know, the top marketers in a bunch of different industries. And, you know, we all have worked together on what we call product launches, where whenever one of, you know, one big marketer is having a product, you know, launching, then a lot of other marketers, as long as it's in their marketing schedule, will get together and will promote the product or service kind of for a piece of the revenue. I mean, it's kind of a, everybody helps and they share, you know. And so one of my biggest, I knew that that would work for a project like this to get us a lot of reach, but I didn't know exactly how. Well, first of all, I thought, how can you not help share this? If you don't share it, then there's something wrong with you inside and I can't fix that. But what, you know, how am I going to get all these people who they literally live and die by their kind of their email list and their marketing, their schedules? I mean, how am I going to get these people convinced that sending out an email that will do nothing for them, you know, to bring in profit today is a good idea? And just the reception it got. I mean, I got over 60 marketers with some of them have lists of 1 million, 2 million to send this all out. And so, you know, it was just really neat to see how warm receptive they were to it. And, you know, some people couldn't help. I mean, it just wasn't a good time for them. But other than that, I mean, everyone certainly had great comments. I didn't get a negative comment at all. And certainly no one was – I was expecting maybe a little more selfishness. And I just overwhelmingly was flooded with great comments as well as, you know, yeah, you can go read the comments. People have been posting and sharing on their Facebook wall. And, well, we launched a video now, about a month ago. And, you know, it just kind of keeps – having a little life of its own. Every day I'll get a few more Facebook posts or Twitter posts or whatever, and people just sharing the message because it's something that has to be shared. It's not something you watch and want to keep to yourself. It, for whatever reason, it just it cuts to such the core of your humanity that it's like, who can I share this with? Who would this lift up a little bit? Because, you know, it lifts you up, and it certainly will tug at your heartstrings.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about now the people that are going to go to the website and they have the opportunity to click on it. There's a way to donate, but talk a little bit about how this is going to now help many others that also have Down syndrome.
Yeah, so what we did is, you know, we said, hey, as long as we're putting this thing out there, we might as well push it and try to get some donations. So that's what we did. And I formed an organization called Marketers for Good that is a nonprofit that, because I said, hey, I want to do this, but I want to do it again and again. I want to keep bringing messages to light that those of us who are, you know, in the marketing space can help people get their message out who don't really know how to market or they don't have the resources or, you know, basically but for this, people really wouldn't hear the story. So what we did, we decided for, you know, Jacob's Term was really our first project, and what we did is it's all coming into this organization, Marketers for Good, but everything that comes in through Jacob's Term is earmarked to help kids with special needs. And so, you know, a portion of the money goes to help certainly Jacob and his family and, you know, get him more therapy so he can be, you know, playing on the high school baseball team and all those things, right? Everything we want him to do. And then there also be a portion that will be available to those who have special needs of any kind, children. You know, there's, I think the stat I put on there, I can't remember, it was, you know, over 2 million children or whatever in the United States alone have special needs. And so, you know, there's a lot of people who need help, and so we just want to help people who need, if they need help affording therapies or if they need help with anything. I mean, we just want to hear about it, and we want to help them. I mean, certainly we've got a ways to go before we can get to, you know, even a small portion of the people out there who have special needs, but we didn't typically want to limit it to Down syndrome because it's a great cause. But, mm-hmm. you know, we thought that there's a lot of other kids who have great causes too.
Okay. Well, and I think it's great, and I think the timing is really perfect at a time right now when I think anybody that has school-age children, especially if you have special needs children, knows that they are cutting back everywhere. Any sort of opportunity where the government is helping has been cut back in most every state that I've looked at. So I think the timing is great to have something like this where people can go and obviously donate and know that you're going to be able to help, hopefully, hundreds of thousands of kids that are dealing with some form of special needs.
And I was just curious, it's so quiet.
Yeah.
I thought you'd have more to say,
Nick. You cut out for a second, so I hope you didn't ask me any questions. You cut out for a second on me. Sorry.
Oh, okay. We're sorry. Well, I'm just curious on, I know you touched about making some more projects, but what is the next project for you guys with Marketers for the Good? And then also, I have a question for Patricia about Patricia's. What is the next project with you and Jacob?
I'll answer it on Marketers for Good. I mean, we don't know yet. I mean, I'm hoping inspiration will hit the same way it did with Jacob's project, and that it just was such a neat thing. It kind of had to be shared. We're still. I've had a lot of people approach me, and I mean, there's so many great stories out there. That's what's really neat. I've told everyone right now. Look, I've got to ride out the life cycle here at Jacob's Turn and work a lot harder on making sure we get everything we can out of this one before I move on to someone else's story. Ultimately, I want to help everybody, but in order to do my job, I need to get in and make sure we get, you know, as many people as possible to see Jacob's Turn, and then I'll start thinking about the next one. But in the meantime, people have sent me, countless numbers of amazing stories.
All right. You know what? We're going to take a break right now, but when we come back, we have another listener question that is coming in that's going to talk a little bit about involving the special needs kids with the regular kids and kind of how that has changed a little bit. So everybody, keep listening. If you get a chance, again, go to the site. You can follow along with us. It is jacobsturn.com. We'll be right back.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
Well, welcome back to Answers for our Family. A little bit of extra there. Before the break, Patricia, I asked you what's next for you and Jacob, and I was wondering if you could answer that question for us.
Well, I tell you, Jacob just got his first report card from kindergarten because he just started kindergarten, and he had to learn 11 sight words, and he learned all of them. He learned his address, and he had to count to, he was supposed to count to 25. He counted to 28. He did just really exceptional in his first 9 weeks of kindergarten. We've got 10 new sight words that we're going to work on for the next 9 weeks. We're really kind of concentrating right now on his academic work, his handwriting, his reading, and his speech. His speech is a big thing. Our insurance is not covering his speech therapy. So he gets some speech therapy at school, but it's not really adequate for a child with Down syndrome. They kind of need some specialized speech therapy, and we're really working on that. He's going to speech therapy after school 2 days a week. And he finished up a fall ball. We're still practicing our ball. He'd like to try soccer, I think. But right now his sister's finishing up her fall ball tournament, so we're concentrating on academic stuff right now with Jacob.
And along that line, how important is it for parents to be really involved in their special needs kids? Or do you feel like some parents hand them off to the professionals, per se, to do the job?
I do get the feeling from what some of the therapists say and some of the teachers say that the parents kind of get the feeling, and that goes back to what I was saying before about the parents get a little, I mean, maybe not every parent, but some parents may get a little intimidated when a therapist or a doctor or someone says this is how it is. Jacob has been, they like to say that he's high functioning. I don't particularly like that term, but Jacob does extremely well. He's verbal. He speaks in sentences. Not everybody can understand everything he says, but most people can. His teacher can. His friends at school can. The aides at school can understand him. You are the expert on your child, and you are the one that knows the best way that they play and the best things that motivate them. I'm telling you, Jacob Luke learned all of his alphabet, I believe, in the bathtub with foamy soap, because the child loves to take baths. He loves to take showers. So we got that foamy soap, and we spread it on the wall, and he would put his hands in it, and then we started by writing his name, and he learned to write his name in it, and then he learned letters, and then we'd do sounds, and I'd write words, and he would tell me what the word was, and then if he got it right, then he could mess it up and rewrite it. You just need to learn how to embed what they're learning in everyday thing. You don't have to, I mean, in the beginning, I'm going to be honest with you, in the beginning, the therapist would come, and then after they would leave, I would, like, set up that, you know, time of the day where I'd get the little therapy mat out, and we'd sit down and try to do therapy. But that's just not necessary. You can just embed it in what you're doing. At supper time, what Jacob was working on the last few weeks with speech is he's really good at identifying things that he can see, but we're trying to work more on the abstract stuff, so what things are not. So he can say, you know, this is a plate, this is the glass, this is the chicken, this is the French fry, this is the, you know, his drink. But if I say, Jacob, which one of those things is not food? And then he has to think a little more, the fork is not food. And so that's kind of like a little game that we play at dinner. And, you know, my older kids get involved, and you just, everything can be, you don't have to, you know, you have to have fun times, and you have to have family times and relaxed times. But if you can learn how to embed the stuff that you're learning or that you're trying to teach your child into the fun stuff, then everybody wins. And it's like a big family game. You know, we go around the table, and everybody has to say, you know, what at the table is not food? And, you know, it becomes a little bit of a game, and it's fun, and everybody laughs, and he gets the concept.
And you mentioned the older children, and I was curious about Lauren and Matthew, and how did they adjust to having Jacob come into their life and maybe not getting as much attention from their parents as they got before he was born and needed that extra attention himself? How did they adjust to that, and how did they participate?
I'm going to say in the beginning it was tough, but let's see, Lauren was not quite six, and Matthew was four, and it was tough because they were the center of the world, and then we have this baby and he can't get sick, and then right off the bat, you know, you have to, when Lauren would come home from kindergarten, I would take all of her clothes off and put her in the bathtub before she could come near the baby, and you know, and it was tough in the beginning, but you know, it probably is the same type adjustment that any siblings have to adjust to when they get a newborn baby. But the blessing with my children is that they quickly adapted and they embraced Jacob. And they teach him and they enjoy him. And I believe that they are a big reason why Jacob does so well, because he tries so hard to keep up with them. And they're so patient, especially my son Matthew. My son Matthew can get Jacob to do anything. And, you know, if the therapist was there over the summertime when the kids were home from school, the therapist would always include Matthew in whatever activity that she was trying to get him to do, because if Jacob would see Matthew do it, oh, that was fine. Matthew could get Jacob to do anything. I'm just blessed three times over, because I just have the greatest three kids in the world. And they love their brother, and they, you know, they accept him for who he is, and they think he's the greatest, and they don't really see any flaws.
Now, speaking of working well with others, how has that been with the other kids in the school? And I think we all know it's now It's now news that they're actually wanting to prepare a bill. Our government wants to prepare a bill against bullying. How is it working out for Jacob in kindergarten? Or I guess, is he in first grade now?
He's in kindergarten.
He's still in kindergarten.
He just started kindergarten.
Okay.
He, I would like to say that it's the same everywhere, but I just have to say, my children go to Floyd Knobs Elementary, and I have been taking Jacob up there. I volunteer at the school, and so I've been taking Jacob up there ever since he was pretty small, you know, in a stroller. And the kids have always been very sweet to him because, you know, he smiles and he waves. And we have never had an issue with anyone mistreating or being mean to Jacob. As a matter of fact, they embrace Jacob, and they everybody wants to be the one to sit next to Jacob and, you know, help him. Sometimes they want to help him a little too much, but we have so not had that problem. The kids just really love Jacob. They really are good to him.
Well, and that's beautiful. And this kind of goes into the question that I had mentioned, and this is a question that came in via email, and I want to tell everybody how much we appreciate when you email us in a question ahead of time, and I always do everything I can to get it to get the question asked. But this one says, it says, how amazing, after watching the video on your site, I realized that we do tend to isolate children with disabilities. It says, I see you have an organization for the cause. Now, again, this question, it says, I was curious if there was a book in the works. So, and I know that, you know, that apparently there is a book. I didn't see it. But so rather than answer the question about is if there's a book in the works, because we know that there is, what's your thought in regards to this tendency that we have started as, you know, as Americans to isolate children with disabilities?
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that question was for me. Is that
yeah.
right?
Well, I think
okay.
so.
Okay. Well, I mean, I did, when I signed him up, and that was in my original, I don't know if you have read my original article that I wrote, but what I was really the most worried about was, you know, how would people think? Would people think that Jacob didn't belong out there? You know, because he so wanted to play, and I wanted him to have his turn, but I was really worried. I was worried about what the coaches would think and what the other parents would think and what the kids would think and what they would say to him, and, you know, if the parents would be like, oh, he's wasting time out. You know, I was just so scared. I mean, I wanted to put him out there, but I was just so scared of how he would be received and how they would treat him. But I have to say that Jacob learned a great deal from the kids that he was with, and he learned a great deal about baseball. But I think those kids also learned from Jacob. I think that he taught them something, too. And so I think not only did Jacob get great benefit from being allowed to be on this T-ball team, but I think the other kids, they got a benefit from it too.
Well, and I got to tell you, I could not agree more, and I have probably said this story before, but I took my children to, when they were very, very young, when they were about Jacob's age, to a Halloween party that is put on by a local group that provides you know, skill building for you know, people that need to work on their developmental skills. And it was at a park, a huge park here in Los Angeles at Griffith Park, and there were kids of all ages and of all sizes running around in Batman suits and, you know, whatever, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle suits and everything, of all ages, of all sizes, running around. And by the time the, you know, maybe half an hour into this party, you realized that everybody was having a wonderful time, that nobody felt different, nobody felt that there was anything unusual about, you know, a 6 foot tall Batman, you know, or a, you know, or somebody that was 3 feet tall as, you know, Winnie the Pooh. It was just a beautiful thing. It was during the day, and it was so great. And my thought at that time was, I don't get why they are being separated out at times, and even more so, they should have a party like this in every kindergarten class so that they can all realize, you know, just how much love is out there and how beautiful it can be.
Oh, I agree. But the great thing about kindergartners is they don't really see the difference. Jacob may have more difficulty as he gets older, but right now, you know, and he keeps up really well with his peers right now. But that's the great thing about kindergartners. You know, they think everybody's great, and you know, they hug him and he hugs them, and sometimes they hold hands, and you know, it's kindergarten. And Jacob, we're very blessed. We have just the most wonderful kindergarten teacher. She's just everything you would ever want as a kindergarten teacher. And you know, she keeps them all in a good, happy place.
That's wonderful. And I'm thinking about Jacob, and I'm wondering, what is your hope for Jacob's future and how you see him growing up into an adult?
You know, I have every reason to believe that my child will grow up and he will get his driver's license and he will have a job and he will be a contributing person in the community. I'm raising him to be independent, and I'm raising him with that goal, just like anybody raises their child, anybody else. How much trouble he'll have, you know, I don't know. I want everything for him that he wants. And lots of times, you know, I get, you know, I don't know why you worry so much, why you work so hard, because on a Down syndrome scale, Jacob is just off the charts. Well, I'm not talking about a Down syndrome scale. I'm talking about a Jacob scale. And I want him to be the best Jacob that he can be, the same way I want Lauren to be the best Lauren she can be and Matthew to be the best Matthew he can be. And, I have hopes. You know, I'm sure he's going to graduate high school. I hope that he'll go on to some type of college. And I hope that, you know, he grows up and he can be independent and he can take care of himself and, you know, and he can make a difference in the world. Just like I hope for all my kids.
Well, Nick, tell us a little bit about what maybe might be next with as far as with the video. Do you have plans? Are you going to get it into a film festival? Are you going to expand on it? Or as Tricia is saying, maybe, you know, is there a next stage of, you know, of the video or of the documentary?
Yeah, certainly we've started to get a lot of attention from the, you know, kind of from the professional community that's in entertainment business, and certainly I have a background in that, so I'm not shocked at that. And you know, we just submitted for Sundance Film Festival, just because we thought it'd be interesting to see what would happen. Haven't submitted it for anything else yet. We've started to get some attention from kind of the Emmy committee and stuff like that, so that's been really neat. You know, my real hope is that anyone who can spread the word spreads the word, and I went to the people who I knew first of all who had, you know, hundreds of thousands or thousands or millions of people on their lists, or, you know, they had relationships with this many people. But at the end of the day, I mean, my real goal for it now is really for people to do what's right and share a great story that will lift up everybody and educate people. So as far as, I don't have anything planned or scheduled for a next big launch. We pushed really hard for the launch that we initially did. And I really kind of, I mean, the story speaks for itself, and I think it will continue to do that. I hope it gets as much opportunity as possible, but at this point, I think, you know, same way, you know, Patricia is, you know, she's raising Jacob, and she's gonna send him out into the world, and I basically try to take her story and do that for her, and I'm really hoping people will just pick it up and run with it. You know, certainly I'm open to any sort of opportunity that anyone has that would like to share. I mean, we partnered with the National Down Syndrome Society when they were willing to share it with their audience, and you know, I'm really hoping some great additional things come out of it. But at this point, you know, it's kind of like a kid out there in the world, and I give it the best guidance I can, and hopefully some great decisions will be made, and it'll continue to roll. So that's really all I can tell you for now. I mean, certainly I'm more than open to doing all sorts of things with it. I just, you know, I had no clue how this was going to go, how it was going to turn out, how it was going to look, it's been, you know, received really well. And as I said, you know, we're just about a month into promoting this, so I plan to keep promoting it the best that I can, you know, for quite a while to come.
Well, and Nick, I got to tell you, if there's any help that either of you need or anything in regards to Marketers for Good, if there's anything that we can do, where are you based out of, Nick? Are you in L.A.?
I'm in Orlando, actually, but I'm in L.A. often.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, because I know that, and we have a festival coming up here, I think it's in 2 weeks.
Okay.
But, I mean, if there's anything that we can do, just please let us know. And in the same sense with Marketers for Good, if you have something that's coming up, if we can help get the word out for you, we would absolutely love to. In fact, I mean, if there's a place to click to join Marketers for Good, you know, I'll make the commitment over the air. I'm joining.
And awesome.
Yeah, and same thing with Jacob's Turn. You know, again, I watched the video. You know, I will be supporting it. I'll be clicking on that thing, and I want everybody out there listening, you know, go to the site, check out the video, and then after you've listened to the video, after you've watched it, again, there's a place right there on the site. You can click on it. You can provide, you know, however much support that you're comfortable with that you can do, and think about, you know, not only at that point just with Jacob, but with so many of the special needs kids out there, so many of them that could use the help. And again, at a time in which, you know, our school districts do not have the funds to be able to do as much as they would like to do, this is great to be able to have some opportunity, a place where you can go to know that you are providing this kind of help. Again,
awesome. Well, we certainly appreciate the help, and, you know, you know, you've done a lot just by exposing it to your listening audience. We certainly appreciate that. And, you know, anything else you see, that if you see there's an opportunity, I mean, keep in the back of your head that there's a great story about a little kid that needs to be shared. And as you see any film festivals that might be out that direction that you're involved with, or and anything, just, you know, just know that we're here to help spread the word, and we'll support in any way we need to. But yeah, we greatly appreciate it. And I'd ask everyone on the air too, I mean, think about who you can share this with, because it really is, it makes people think of things a little bit differently, no matter what they're going through. And I think it's just kind of a great uplifting message for everybody.
Well, what I would really like to see at some point is a follow-up to Jacob's story and Jacob's life and the next turn he has when he graduates, you know, elementary school and high school, and just to see where he is, and then eventually putting it all together in a much longer documentary. I think that would be fantastic.
That'd be awesome. We'd love to do that.
Well, and after watching him in the first one, I think he would like it too, because he certainly was not shy about being on camera.
No. He loves people. He loves people, yeah. You know, I did want to say one more thing, and this is for, you know, parents and who might be new parents or someone who might be pregnant, is, you know, Down syndrome is not what you dream of. It's not what you hope for your child. But, you know, it's not the end of the world. Jacob is still, he's still my son. He's still my baby boy. You know, he looks like his daddy, and he's sweet like his mama. And, he's not perfect in the way that maybe the world thinks he should be perfect, but I don't think anyone's child is perfect. And, you know, if this is the worst there is, then I'll take it every time.
Well, I just wanted to say I think you're a wonderful mother, and Jacob and your whole family is really blessed to have you. And I hope there's more mothers out there that take an interest in and really work with their children, whether they're special needs or not. And I just wanted to say I wish you and Jacob and your family a very fulfilling and happy life. And may it go just the way that you want it to.
Thank you.
All right. Well, again, Trish, and again, thank you. Nick, thank you as well. And again, I look forward to getting an update either by having you on the show again or by going to the website and checking it out.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Well, Melody, that was awesome.
Oh, I just think they're marvelous. And if you have a chance to check out the video, you know, it just sounds very charming. I know I looked at the book, mm-hmm. and the pictures are just extraordinary. And you could see the excitement of being in the moment Jacob has in those pictures, of being on the mound, of being up to bat, and the high fives with his teammates and everything. So it's really an extraordinary story. And like I said, the words don't really need to be there. You look at the pictures, and it says
right.
everything.
Right. Well, then it sounds like, now, I need to read the book, and you need to see the video.
Absolutely.
And together we will have covered all of it. Now, in your practice, and we've just got about a minute, is this an area that you have, are you working with any families in this area?
Usually I refer out to other therapists because everybody has a specialty, and disabilities or physical disabilities are not my area of expertise.
All right. Well, again, for everybody out there, the website, once again, is www.jacobsturn. That's JACOBSTURN.com. Check it out. It's just, it's touching. It's heartwarming. It is worth 10 minutes that it takes to see it. I think everybody will be touched. So again, until next week, go out there and seek to catch someone doing something good every day.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.